Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news, it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. Broadcasting live from Patriot headquarters deep inside the heart of the American Redoubt, our hope is not in man. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, but we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And this is about the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Today, compromise is riddling the church. And all of us need to know that this is a time of sifting. So it's not a bad thing when we discover where people are really at in their walk with Jesus Christ, where people are really at in their patriotism. The key is, and I want to talk about what's going on in the world in an overview, and I want to talk about what I think the key here is for battling what is clearly an attempted communist revolution in America. So the overview of what is happening in the world is this. The Chinese want to take over Taiwan. There's a book called The Prisoners of Geography by Tim Marshall. Fantastic book. And it talks about why China is weak geographically. For example, the Straits of Malacca is where most of Chinese oil comes through, but they don't control it. Off of their coast, they have South Korea, they have Japan, they have Taiwan. So they have to open up their sea lane, and Taiwan is the perfect candidate for them to go after. On the other side, the only way they really have out through their western border is through the Silk Road. And that's why they are developing the Belt and Road Initiative. Also, they have very ambitious thing, and it's an attempt to go over the Himalayan mountains through Kashmir, which is why they're having these clashes with India, because they want to go through the Kashmir region and come down to a port in Lahore, Pakistan, which bypasses the Straits of Malacca, where there again oil goes through. So the Chinese are put into a position where their economy is very shaky right now. You have the Evergrande crisis and several other Chinese companies that look like they're either going to default or they're going to try to restructure. You have the speech in 2000 by General Chiwati, and the secret speech that he gave, where he talks about very plainly that if the Communist Party is ever threatened, that for their survival, they need to start a war. So geographically, the Chinese have a reason for a war. Economically, for the survival of the Communist Party, they have reason for war. And also because of the Asian mindset of saving face and Taiwan being in rebellion against China as a free country, they have a saving face reason for war. Now, the Russians know this, so that is why Vladimir Putin is doing what he did in 2013. Now, if you go back to 2014, the Winter Olympics in Sochi, December of 2013, the Russians began to move troops clandestinely. In other words, they began to mask their troop movements instead of them being overt on social media and kind of bragging about them. In 2013, they began to mask the troop movements, moving troops at night, doing information blackouts so people wouldn't know where their troops are going. That resulted in the invasion of Ukraine. Now, about a week ago, the Russians in December of 2021, and oh, isn't it interesting, there is a Winter Olympics in Beijing here in February, using a similar pattern of the Olympics masking what their true intentions are, the Russians began to mask their troop movements, moving troops at night, information blackouts, again, just like 2013. So what you're seeing is a very similar pattern to the precursor of the invasion of Ukraine. Now, why is the timing interesting? Because if the Chinese do something in Taiwan, the Russians would want to do something in Ukraine at the same time, because the Western powers could not react to two fronts, at least according to what their strategic planners believe in Russia and China. That's why there's 150,000 troops in the Russian Western District. So that is Belarus. That's the border, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Poland. So that border area right there. And then also in their Southern District, another 150,000 troops. And we have eyewitness accounts from the ground about 30 miles away from the border with Russia in Ukraine that are talking about the increased shelling and gunfire that is happening right there on the border. Again, very similar to what happened in 2013 as a run-up to the Olympics in Sochi. In addition to that, we now see the Iranians, and I'm going to stop there for a second because this is going to get into our intelligence brief. We see the Iranians also doing some things. As Christians in this time, we should not have any fear, but we should have a clear realization that other countries around the world perceive us now as weak. There is a moment that is critical to the survival of America, and I'm going to tell you what that is. I heard a long time ago somebody said, well, what would you do to have peace in America? And the answer correctly was end abortion. Spiritually, that is exactly what needs to happen. The blood needs to be cleansed from the land by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you didn't know this, abortion clinics literally wash the blood down the drain, okay? So the blood is running into the land, okay? So it's interesting to me the timing that the vote on the arguments over whether Roe versus Wade should be overturned happened today and happened maybe tomorrow. And so these justices are going to be defined by what they do now. And Roe versus Wade is tied into peace and America from a spiritual sense. So as Christians, what do? We pray that these justices will do the right thing, overturn Roe versus Wade, allow states to ban abortion so that the blood can be cleansed from the land by the blood of Jesus Christ, and so that there will be peace in America. Which brings me now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, starting with Iran. Iran is also seeing what's happening, and all these countries talk to one another, so it's not like they don't know what, you know, what's in the offing. They may not know details, but they have general timelines. Iran, coming to us from Debcafile, is 3 days into what's called the Vienna negotiations with world powers. These negotiations are seeking to try to get Iran to back off of its enrichment. However, they are frankly admitting for the first time that Tehran is intent on building a nuclear bomb. Iran's 2022 and 2023 state budget provides for another 2 years of additional international sanctions thereby taking aboard the economic consequences of weaponizing the nuclear program. In other words, they are budgeting for the fact that they're going to have a hit internationally to keep their nuclear program going. And extra-fast centrifuges are being pressed into service for the rapid accumulation of sufficient 60% pure uranium to fuel a number of nuclear warheads. So the Iranians now are preparing for what's coming here in this time between now and February, March, April, to do something as well in the Middle East. And remember what Jack Decker said here on this show here, what was it, a year and a half ago, that when there's war in the Middle East, count the days because there will be a cyber attack or some sort of massive disruption on America's cell networks, internet, or even an EMP to disrupt America and any ability for America to respond. Now, I want to say something else. From that perspective, that geostrategic perspective, it becomes very worrisome, or I should say troublesome, that the pretender in the White House is doing literally everything he can to weaken the United States prior to a potential war. He is making it nearly impossible for the military to fulfill its readiness with these vaccine mandates. He's dipping into the strategic reserves, which are strategic not for bringing down gas prices. These are strategic reserves in case we have our oil supply cut for a little while or there's some sort of an internal disruption. Our military can still operate, and we can still operate with our supply chains internally to America. He is, according to their new defense policy reviews, essentially not worried about China. They're reticent to move anything into the Pacific. Quite literally doing everything possible to weaken America prior to a potential war. Now you kind of get a feel for what's happening. And again, as Americans and Christians, we need to pray about this. We're Christians first, patriots second. We need to pray about this. But we also need to be prepared. We need to be prepared with food, with water, medical supplies, the ability to communicate, and yes, guns and ammunition, because we have the right of self-defense in this country. And as we have clearly seen, Marxist organizations are willing to take to the streets, burn buildings, steal property. And so we need to be ready to defend ourselves and our families. This stuff is real. This is no longer conjecture, no longer, you know, this might happen. This is on our doorstep right now, and there is no wishing away the wolf at our door. And if that doesn't get you awake enough, coming to us from Gateway Pundit, Sweden, get your COVID vaccine passport in a chip in your hand, of course. Because, Travis, right? I mean, where else would it go? Maybe your forehead? That would be weird. So, yeah, you can read this and look at the video. Over the last few years, some Swedish workers have volunteered to have microchips implanted in their hands so they can no longer have to carry cash, ID keys, gym pass, etc. Well, of course, let's turn it into a COVID vaccine passport, because that just makes perfect sense. And Austria, not wanting to, you know, let Sweden outdo them, Austria now is planning. The first details of this are coming out. This is coming to us from Free West Media. The first details about a planned mandatory vaccination law are circulating. Heavy fines and imprisonment if necessary. So all these people are like, oh, it's conspiracy. There might be a prison camp somewhere in a Western world. They're literally talking about this right now, imprisoning people who, by the way, are abiding by the Nuremberg Code, the decision that, yes, you have the right of bodily autonomy and you cannot ever be forced to take anything against your will, experimentally or otherwise, as far as medical treatments are concerned, because that's what they did to Jews during the Holocaust. That's the whole reason the Nuremberg trials happened. In Austria, going back apparently to the 1930s and 40s, wants to confine people into oblivion or imprisonment, if people disagree, that's the discussion on the table, right? It shouldn't even be on the table for discussion. Here we are. Also coming to us from WorldNet Daily on the international front. Taliban is executing or disappearing hundreds. Who could have seen that one coming? Of course, Human Rights Watch confirms the fears of terrorism's return to Afghanistan. But these are moderate. No, they're just following Sharia law. Human Rights Watch reports Taliban forces in Afghanistan have summarily executed or forcibly disappeared more than 100 former police and intelligence officers in just four provinces. And that's just what they know about. At least 47 former members of the Afghan National Security Forces were found by the Taliban between August 15th and October 30th and are confirmed dead, or else have simply been banished, or they might have been vanished in the article. But there you go. We could have all seen this coming, and yet, once again, the pretender did exactly the wrong thing at exactly the wrong time. At a certain point, people with Yale degrees, Harvard degrees, people that are among the smartest in the whole world, doing the wrong thing consistently might give us a clue that this might be actually a plan, that they're doing this intentionally. Which brings us to the national front. Coming to us from the Epoch Times, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services suspend vaccine mandate enforcement. The Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services suspended enforcement of its vaccine mandate for healthcare workers after two court orders earlier this week. That's a small victory. Fantastic. But notice how they're using the strings of money to follow up with vaccine mandates. Which brings me to one of the more troubling news articles today. Coming to us from Technocracy News. And also, I'm going to be talking about a real quick vote list from Populist Press. But Technocracy News first. House Resolution 550. House passes bill to fund federal vaccination database. We'll never have a database. We're not going to track you. Except that's what they're funding. They want to track federal vaccination. Why would they possibly want to spend $400, you're hearing this right, million dollars in taxpayer money to have this database system to track Americans? Because every single thing is going to be linked to this passport. That's what their plan is. They've been very clear about this over the last 10 years. They have little snippets here, little snippets there. They want to track everyone, but more importantly, they want to control everyone, and this is one of the control mechanisms by which they want to do that. Here's the sad part about it. 80 Republicans voted to fund this Orwellian vax database. You heard that right. 80 Republicans. And you can go to the main article. It's on the republicbrief.com. But what really is sad is that Republicans here in Washington State voted for this, including our Congresswoman, Kathy McMorris Rodgers. Now, I know Kathy, and I respect her position, and I respect many of the things that she has done to protect Christians, but this is not one of them. They want to use this to track and crack down on Christianity. That's the purpose of this stuff. They want to use this to crack down on people they want to control and who disagree with them, and the primary body of people who are disagreeing right now on vaccines are Christians. So rightfully so, many people are very, very upset about this. And should be. Should be. Because this is, I mean, this is something we talked about 10 years ago. And now here it is on our doorstep. And they want to track us in that way. Brings me next on the national front to the Daily Caller. Metastasizing like a cancer, parents across the country are suing schools over clandestine transitions. Two recent lawsuits are the latest in a series of cases where schools are accused of initiating social gender transitions of children behind the backs of their parents. Okay, I appreciate some of the folks that have been fighting inside the government school system for a long time. I really do. I know there's a lot of Christians that are there in field of calling. Get your kids out of government schools. This is one more reason. We talked several years ago about abortions being done behind parents' backs with high school counselors involved. Now we're talking about clandestine transitions. Despite the very clear biological fact that in 99.99% of the cases, the presence or absence of a Y chromosome determines gender, period. So it's going against a biological truth to even do this. And worse, trying to do this behind parents' backs as if these are not their kids. Get your kids out of government schools. You can homeschool. You can do a homeschool co-op, Freedom Project Education. You can do ACE like we do here at Kingdom Christian Academy. There are many great private schools out there that also do classical Christian education. There are so many options. There is no reason to keep your kids in government schools. And I believe that a lot of parents are waking up to this. This is why 55,000 children left government schools in Washington State alone this year. And Washington State is looking at these government schools are looking at losing estimated $500 million as a result of this. Get your kids out of public school. And I'm going to correct myself. Government school. We got to quit referring it to as public because a lot of private schools, homeschool is open to everyone, so technically public. Government schools, because this is what's happening. It's being used as a weapon against our children. Coming to us from Populist Press on the national front, confirmed, Joe Biden is suffering from a serious medical condition. Hunter Biden's, and I want everybody to listen to this carefully, okay? Because there's some people out there who are like, oh, there's nothing wrong with Joe. Nothing wrong with the pretender. Okay. Hunter Biden's therapist and confidant, Dr. Keith Ablo, repeatedly made allusions to Joe Biden having struggled with dementia, according to materials on Hunter Biden's laptop. Well, I think that confirms what everybody suspected. So you can read about that on Populist Press. Read that article. We need to pray for the pretender. And it's kind of sad that they actually put him in this type of a situation too. But the fact of the matter is, he is unfit for office. An office which many people suspect was not even rightfully acquired. That brings us to the last thing. And by the way, if you didn't read this article in Populist Press here, I talked about on Tuesday, New England Journal of Medicine, talking about how much more effective natural immunity is than the vaccine, you need to go take a look at the statistics that are in that article and check it out. Share it with your friends and family everywhere, especially those who are skeptical. But Travis, if you could, cue this video up. So a bunch of friends are sitting around, they're having coffee, and they're like, hey, I know, Let's make some self-replicating xenobots. Like, who does that? Right? Who is sitting around saying, you know, the one thing that we're missing in life is self-replicating xenobots? Because how creepy does this need to get? And yes, they're self-replicating, and yes, they kind of look like, I don't know, half a donut hole or maybe like a piece of fried shrimp or something. I don't know. This is weird. Why would you want to do this unless you were going to use this for something that really probably is against the law of nature and nature's God? Technocracy News has the story. Go check it out if you haven't seen this. Self-replicating xenobots. Xenobots 3.0. Oh, by the way, designed by artificial intelligence, because that could not go wrong, right? I know Church and State has talked about this a couple times, and I'm going to mention it now too. There are certain passages of Scripture that point to this kind of stuff in the last times. Now, it's not the last times of us, it's the last times of the enemy, just to be clear. But there are certain passages that point to this kind of weirdness that would not be explained otherwise, where you have literally an attempt to become the creator by these scientists. All right, last thing. On December 12th, here at On Fire Ministries on Sunday, 10 a.m. is our service time. You didn't know that. So, and we've been having some great services recently. It's been absolutely awesome. People being baptized. They weren't even expecting to do it when they came. Felt led by the Lord to do it. We had a whole bunch of men repenting and just praising the Lord. Their wives were praying over them. And when they stood up, all the ladies in the audience cheered. It was just fantastic. Had a lot of testimonies regarding healing and being set free. It's just been, it's been wonderful. And testimonies are important. And on December 12th, 10 a.m., my friend Glenn Tate, he's the author of the 299 Days series, is going to come and give his testimony about how God saved his life, not once here in the last year, but twice, from cancer and from COVID. He was put on a ventilator, and as you know, the statistics of survival there are very, very low, and he's got a great testimony. So come visit us at On Fire Ministries, December 12th, 10 a.m., and look forward to seeing you there. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everyone that has been praying for us. And remember, if you absolutely have to, go to Facebook, Patriot Radio US, but better, go to Gab, MeWe, Getter, at Matt Shea. You can follow us there. See the show on iTunes, also Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. And we are replayed across the entire American Christian Network every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 p.m. American Christian Network covers a lot of ground. Eastern Washington, North Idaho, Western Montana, Northeast Oregon. So if you are having trouble picking it up, you can always go to AM 1050, especially if you're out in places like the Palouse. And share that with your friends and family. People have been wanting the truth. They wanting good news and a biblical perspective and a patriotic perspective. This is one way to do it through the American Christian Network. All right. It's my honor to bring back on somebody who I really appreciate his investigative journalism skills, his work in many different areas. And it's interesting, some of the things that he's written on, and I want to go through a couple of those right now. Court Kirkwood is a longtime contributor to The New American, former newspaper editor. He's been writing about American politics and culture for 35 years. His articles have appeared in Crisis, The Remnant, Chronicles, National Review, The New American, and elsewhere. And also, he is the author of 10 Courageous Americans to Know and Admire. And this is where I really love you, Court, because you went and took really disparate people and put it together. Francis Marion, the Swamp Fox, Vince Lombardi, Lou Gehrig, Audie Murphy, Davy Crockett, Robert E. Lee, to name just a few. Really appreciate your heart for this country and your heart for attention to detail as well. Court Kirkwood, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I hope you're doing well.
I am, sir, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. I want to talk today a little bit about the propaganda that's been out there, particularly in regards to the Rittenhouse case, which was really a bigger issue. It had to do with the right of self-defense. So if you could go into that a little bit for the listeners and why this propaganda is so necessary for this attempted Marxist revolution here in this country.
Well, I think the important thing, to me, the important thing to remember about the Rittenhouse case is not just that it was a self-defense case. It was an obvious self-defense case, and no one with two brain cells to rub together thought anything else. And I include the people that were denouncing him, calling him a racist, a white supremacist. I include the prosecutors. That man is an experienced prosecutor. There is no way he did not know that that was a legitimate case of self-defense. I think he was responding to the communist mobs, whether out of fear that the city would be burned down to have been to cinders if he didn't charge him, or because he agreed with the mob and wanted to make an example out of this kid. I don't know what his motives are, but there's no way that he believed what he was saying, which really is, a lot of people say, oh, you're a hypocrite because you don't practice what you preach. Well, the real definition, one of the definitions of hypocrisy is someone who doesn't believe what they're telling you. And I don't believe, as William F. Buckley once said, I'm not going to insult your intelligence by suggesting you believe what you just said. And I am not going to insult that man's intelligence by believing that he actually thought that Kyle Rittenhouse committed intentional murder. Nobody of any with an IQ over 80 would believe that. Now, I do not blame people who listen to the leftist media, and particularly if that's the only place they get their news, because they wouldn't have known, and maybe they didn't watch the videotapes. It was clear from the minute that the videotapes were released, particularly that compilation that his original defense attorneys put together, it was very clear right from the beginning that Rittenhouse defended himself and that he did nothing wrong. So, I that's a really key thing, that I do not believe that the people that went after this kid in their hearts thought that he really committed intentional homicide or reckless homicide or shot recklessly at people. I think they wanted to use him as an example, to make an example of him and say, you middle-class Americans, particularly white Americans, are not going to be allowed to grapple with these communist mobs. They are our shock troops, and you are not going to be allowed to fight back against them. And if you do, this is going to be the result. So that's kind of my take on, my broad brush take on the Rittenhouse case.
So I want to talk a little bit more in detail about this. There were a lot of lies put out there by the media. I mean, demonstrably false statements, clearly
correct,
false statements.
Correct.
So
and
if you could go through a few of those too, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
they're still
they are
repeating them. This is the thing. Now, credit where credit is due, because, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. CNN, and, I think that CNN is probably worried about a lawsuit. So they very quickly did a little, this is what we learned from the trial. Well, they didn't have to learn that from the trial. They could have known, they did. So they did the sort of this corrective piece. To make sure that they could say, well, we, when it was all over, we corrected and, we reported all this that you're accusing us of not reporting in the event of a future lawsuit. So, obviously maybe their general counsel was getting nervous after he got acquitted and went back and looked at some of the coverage. But it could be that as it may. They could have known those things before the trial. That's what is sort of a little bit disingenuous about this little, this is what we learned piece. They could have learned it 4 months ago, 5 months ago, 7 months ago, 12 months ago. They didn't have to wait till the trial is over. Anyway, so yeah, here, one of the big ones is, is he crossed, well, his mother drove him. That didn't happen. He crossed state lines with an illegal rifle. Well, first of all, I when did leftists suddenly become worried about borders? You know, and then number two, it's not against the law to cross state lines. Number three, he was there to do good. Number four, he actually worked in the city. So it's not true that he crossed state lines and was there with, you know, that he had no business being there. All that was false. And, of course, he didn't have a rifle with him when he went. Now, that may be an insignificant detail. Well, who cares whether he had it with him when he went? Okay, fine. But it's still a falsehood that has not been corrected, you know. So that I think that was the big one. And then there's the nonsense about him being a racist and a domestic. Oh, he went there to shoot people. That's what one of the leftists on MSNBC. He went there to shoot people. Joe Scarborough, he's running around gunning people down. Okay. David French, the fake conservative, said he left a trail of bodies. David French, I think the decision was right legally. Well, that's mighty big of you, Dave. I think the decision was right legally, but we can't make a hero of this guy because he left a trail of bodies. Now, I don't know what that sounds like to you, but when you say they left a trail of bodies, to me that sounds like the St. Valentine's Day massacre. You know, where he was just mowing people down indiscriminately. But that claim went to Prosecutor Binger's falsehood that people believed he was a, quote, active shooter. Nobody believed he was an active shooter.
Exactly.
First of all, we can't know whether Rosenbaum and Huber thought he was an active shooter because they're dead. But I don't believe anybody thought that active shooters don't stop shooting until the ammo runs out. Active shooters don't stop shooting until they put a bullet in their own head or until police take them out. Active shooters don't look for the police to surrender. He was very careful. He actually exercised great control, I thought, considering the situation he is. He didn't start
and for his age, too. I mean, how many?
Age, you know, I mean, yeah. I, you know, but who knows? I mean, but we all, you know, I think everybody knew it was over. When Grosskreutz, this criminal with the Glock 40 caliber, admitted in court under cross-examination, and it was a brilliant cross-examination. There was a very good analysis of Kirafis's a cross-examination up on YouTube by this Canadian lawyer, and he just thought this guy was brilliant. He just took him apart. And I think one of the key moments, obviously, and I think the thing that sunk it more than any other, was when Grosskreutz had to admit, he didn't shoot me until I pointed my gun at him. Game over. If you point your gun at somebody's head and they shoot you first, that's self-defense. Because there's only one reason to point a gun at somebody. And that's and as any good gun owner knows, there's only one reason to point. You only point a gun at somebody unless you intend to shoot them.
Right. It's manifestation of hostile intent. Yep.
Yes. So this guy points his gun at him, and bang. The other guy tried to grab his gun. This Rosenbaum child molester tried to grab his gun. The jump kick man kicked him in the face, and Huber tried to kill him with a skateboard. If he had hit him harder, he could have killed him.
Yep.
I mean, I have three sons, and they've all had skateboards. And I will tell you, those skateboards, they are heavy. Those trucks on that skateboard that hold those wheels, you can use that truck as a handle to start swinging that thing. And if I tell you, if you hit somebody in the head with the edge of that skateboard hard enough, you could split their skull open.
Absolutely.
So this idea that he was trying. Oh, this is another one. Somewhere I read. It was just in the last couple of days for my latest piece that's going to come out in the New American. He tried to disarm him. Huber tried, the convicted strangler tried to disarm a guy with an AR-15. Who does this guy think he is? You know, Tom Cruise's character, Mission Home, he's not going to disarm anybody. He's a doped up skateboarder. Who's he going to disarm? That was a ridiculous claim. He was trying to hurt him. And second of all, why would you believe that? Why would an amateur believe he's going to disarm a man with an AR-15 with a skateboard? I mean, the media's whole take on this is absurd. It's just absolutely absurd. And this is an attempt to send a message. You're not going to get away with challenging our communist mobs that are taking over these cities. As part of the anarcho tyranny that Sam Francis wrote about 30 years ago.
I think now it's emboldened Americans now, but I agree with you. I think that this was their initial plan. And I think there's a tie in with this massacre suspect right in the wake of this as well, that, you know, they were trying to say, well, okay, well, fine, you're going to pay a price for it.
Well, you know, that's what we all heard. You know, that a guy said, this is on you on Twitter, or there was a Twitter, something came across my Twitter feed.
Right.
You know, this is the beginning of the revolution. This is a response to the Rittenhouse. Now, that may be true. I don't know. You know, if this guy pleads guilty, if he allocutes, we'll know. Maybe somebody will ask him that. Why did you mow these people down? If he answers and says it's because of the Rittenhouse thing, well, then we'll know. But really, given the guy's social media past, given the things that he said, the terrible things, the intense hatred of whites, does it really matter whether he was responding to the Rittenhouse thing? I mean, if it wasn't the Rittenhouse thing, he responded to something else,
right?
I think it's an interesting point, but it's not a crucial point. The attack in Waukesha was a racial attack. And we know from the criminal complaint, which I read the other day, that the detectives and at least two witnesses said it was clear that the suspect in this case, let's remember this guy's still a suspect.
Yep, he's still got to get a fair trial, yep.
That the suspect in this case was doing this intentionally. He was zigzagging, trying to hit people. So, and he was purposely accelerating, as the cop said. So, fact of the matter is, he was mowing people down, according to the criminal complaint. Those are the allegations in the criminal complaint. So. I think what we have to look at is not just these two cases. You know, you look at the Chauvin case, you look at the Zimmerman case. What was the Zimmerman case? Everybody, those prosecutors knew George Zimmerman didn't shoot that kid for no reason. It was preposterous.
Right?
It was another clear case of self-defense. So what's the message? If it's a clear case of self-defense and they're prosecuting you anyway, what is the message from the prosecutor? Particularly if you get convicted, which would have been obviously a disaster for Zimmerman. But what is the message? You are not going to be allowed to defend yourself against predatory black teenagers. And if you do, you're going to be smeared as a racist and we're going to put you in jail. Or execute you, depending on what the level of the charge is. That was, to me, that was the, what is the message of the Chauvin case? Everybody knows that Chauvin didn't kill that guy on purpose. He didn't even kill him by accident. George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose.
Right, right.
George Floyd had major cardiovascular disease. George Floyd couldn't breathe because he had taken too much fentanyl. Fentanyl, like other opiates, is a respiratory depressant.
Yep.
Now, if he'd just sat in the back of the police car and gone to jail, he'd be alive. So there's really only one person responsible for George Floyd's death, right? And it's not Derek Chauvin. But what was the message of the Chauvin trial? Well, if we believe critical race theory, all whites are racist. And any white cop who tries to subdue a black criminal with violence is a racist and needs to be punished. He's a white supremacist. And the only reason Kyle Rittenhouse got off, this is going to be the new story, this will be the new line coming out. The only reason Rittenhouse got off was because of white privilege. That's what Joanne Reed said. The day wow. right after the acquittal. He's just like a slave trader. You know, all these laws were written to allow men, white men, to use violence to protect property. I mean, the hysteria over the Rittenhouse acquittal is pretty, to me, it's both amusing and telling. Because these things are going to get worse, not better, I don't think.
It seems like there's just continued provocation, you know, across the board. And you know, I think one of the other big points here, too, very important points, is what about the fact of everybody rioting, right? What happened to them being prosecuted for breaking the law? For goodness sake.
Good question. Grosskreutz confessed on the stand that he was carrying that gun illegally. He didn't permit was not valid. Jump kick man came into the police and was interviewed by the district attorney. Why was he not why has he not been arrested for assault? Because if it's true that Rittenhouse was defending himself, which is what the jury found essentially, then that means that Grosskreutz and jump kick man need to be prosecuted for what? Attempted murder? What should they? I mean, because Grosskreutz said on the stand, he did not shoot me until I pointed my gun at him.
Right.
Well, what would happen if I? What would a cop do if you or I were driving down the street and we got into a road rage thing and I pulled out a pistol and pointed it at you? What would the cop do?
Exactly.
I would be arrested immediately. I would be arrested immediately. It wouldn't even be a question. There wouldn't even be a question. I'd be in jail. I'd be in cuffs. I'd be on the ground. And I'd probably be more than one cop, too. So
it's a double standard. Yeah, there really is a double standard there.
It is a double standard, but it's what my friend Sam Francis, who worked with me at the Washington Times for 4 years, or I worked with him, and he called it anarcho-tyranny. On the one hand, you have anarchy, and the authorities will do nothing about it. And on the other hand, you've got tyranny, which is the tyranny against us. So we let this guy out of jail on low bail, and he goes and kills a bunch of people. There is the anarchy, letting him out of jail. 1.7 million illegal aliens coming across our border last year that were caught, not the ones who weren't caught, the ones that were caught. Biden's flying them around the country and dropping them into other communities. That's anarchy.
Yep.
But Rittenhouse, he gets prosecuted for defending himself. That's the tyranny. You will get pulled over if they see you without a seatbelt on. Now, you know, as far as your local cops are concerned, you know, the anarcho-tyrannical regime is safer for them because they know if they pull Shea over, there's a 99.9999% chance they're going to walk out of that encounter alive because you're not going to pull out a gun and shoot them because you're angry or they dissed you
right.
or something like that. Whereas if they pull over somebody else who fits the profile of a hardened criminal, they're not so sure. So who's it safer to pull over for a speeding violation? You.
Yep.
Not a person who might be an illegal alien that's playing, you know, blaring music out of the car at a stoplight and has three guys in the back and the car's all full of wacky weed smoke.
Should we coin a term of anarchist privilege?
What, is that anarchist really privilege? Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, they are waging war against us. They're waging war against Middle America.
That's right.
They know exactly what they're doing. One of the things I've been trying to stress lately, I see a lot of, you know, I follow Twitter a lot, you know, just in my job, and I see Biden's incompetence. You know, Mayorkas is incompetence. He's not controlling it, but it's not incompetence. He's doing it on purpose. You don't send 30 flights into Jacksonville, Florida without a purpose.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's not incompetence. It's not incompetence when you open the gate and let 12,000 Haitians into the country and spray them all over the place and nobody knows where they are. That's not incompetence. That was done on purpose. So that's another thing that conservatives need to stop saying. Stop calling Biden and Harris and Mayorkas and these other radicals that Biden has hired to run his cabinet. Stop calling them incompetent. They know exactly what they're doing. They're doing it on purpose. These borders are open because they're trying to bring in future Democrat voters.
Well, in the last 3 minutes we've got left here, if you could talk a little – you alluded to this a little bit. Talk a little bit about what you think is going to happen in the future. How do you think the trajectory is going to end up here, let's say, over the next 6 months?
Well, over the next 6 months, I don't know. I think long term – well, over the next 6 months, I mean, let's make it 12 months. Because we've got an election in 12 months. We've got the midterms. Okay, you know, this madness could, you know, I guess, result in some, you know, electoral miracle where Congress returns to Republican control, Trump or some other Republican gets elected to office and the brakes get put on this. But look what happened in Virginia. You know, Youngkin. He gets elected on culture war issues. He gets elected on bathroom rapes and critical race theory. And what's the first thing he does? His comms director is a guy that wears a dress.
Right. I know.
There's a reason they call it. And I'm starting to wonder. They used to call the Republican Party the stupid party, and the Democratic Party the evil party. And as my friend Sam Francis said, I'm a proud member of the stupid party. Well, you know, when you got a guy like Youngkin doing what he just did, who comes off of Wall Street and he's a big financier, are we really the stupid party or are we both evil parties? I mean, when he does something like that and slaps all those mothers who came out and voted for him to stop this nonsense, and then he hires this guy who's got his pronouns on his Twitter page, what can you say?
Right.
So I don't know what short term, yes, we can have an electoral miracle. I think it is going to be extremely difficult to vote ourselves out of this problem that we've got ourselves in, particularly because of the changing demographics in the country. I mean, look at California, what's happened to it. That was a solid red state back in 1980. It elected Ronald Reagan. It elected Bob Dornan. Sent Republican senators. A Republican couldn't get elected in California. I guess the last one of any note on a statewide level is Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
I mean, now obviously in San Francisco, it's gone so far out of control. They got a recall on this communist case of Bowden. But who knows whether that'll succeed? That'll recall election is going to succeed next year. That's a long time. I mean, people are hot under the collar now. But is that election going to succeed? So voting yourself out of the problems we have. You know, $30 trillion in debt. How do you vote yourself out of that problem?
Right.
I mean, we got 1.7 million illegal aliens apprehended by the Border Patrol at ports of entry and between ports of entry. How do you vote yourself out of that? When the elites, the deep state, the elites, Republicans included, are purposely doing these things to us.
And that's, I think, the biggest message out of the show today is this is not incompetence. This is not an oops. This is not they need more education. This is intentional. It is an intentional plan. It's an intentional narrative.
Right.
And as Americans wake up, we need to be as intentional backward.
Yeah.
So, we've only got a few seconds left. If you could, very quickly, where can people go to read about your articles and find out more about you?
Go to thenewamerican.com, and you follow me on Twitter, at @rcourtkirkwood on Twitter. And, just go to The New American. I write for them a lot. And I have my own little website that we run around with a couple of patriots. AmericanRemnant.com, and we post some pretty good hard-hitting stuff. We got a good we have a good piece up there today about Zamora's speech and relating it to Pat Buchanan, who we had a chance to make president 20, 30 years ago, and we might have avoided some of these problems if we'd elected that man.
Yep.
So, anyway.
Well, Court Kirkwood, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. I really appreciate everything you're doing, and just keep up the fight. Keep up the great investigative journalism.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. And again, I think the main issue and the main thing out of this broadcast today is this is intentional. This is not a mistake. This is not, oh, people need to be more educated. These are Yale graduates, Harvard graduates, Princeton graduates. They're not stupid. They're not incompetent. They are intentionally doing this to weaken this country. And part of it is weakening the narrative of patriotism, the idea of even being patriotic, that this country is worth fighting for, that America is good and has been a force for good in the world, has sent more missionaries and more money overseas than any other country in the history of the world, has liberated more people. They're trying to undermine the very narrative of American greatness in the best sense of that term. And at the same time, undermine Christianity, because it is Christians standing up that is causing them the biggest problems. And it is Christians who have been determined to obey God rather than man that is the greatest obstacle to these elitists and their handlers. There's a great article out there. I'm going to talk about it next week about the three main elitists that are controlling the Democrat Party and the Marxist attempted revolution here in America. The antidote is us standing up as the people. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Keep up the fight.